Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet. Go over there, get at them. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for an episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Penland, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. I am joined, as always, by Ben Goritz here on this fine Thursday, December 21st. Ben, happy Hanukkah, man. How are we doing today?
Yeah, it was a good Hanukkah. We're good, man. Coming off Scottsdale bachelor trip. It was a great time. This city seems a little fake. It just seems like it's like green screen background, 60 to 70 degrees every day, barely a cloud in the sky. A lot of activities to do. So it was a good time in Scottsdale. And I don't think I did great in my absence. But that's why we have a bounce back week. We got more games to pick.
Oh, yeah. We got more games to pick. We got a lot of bowl games, NFL, everything y'all want to hear us talk about. We got a big slate coming up for y'all. First of all, Merry Christmas from me. Happy holidays. Merry Xmas. Happy Hanukkah. However you celebrate it one way or another, we're wishing you guys all the best. Ben, you want to start us out and recap last week's picks for us?
Yes, I will. Last week, let me pull it up. Here we go. Last week in college football, I didn't have anything that has currently played yet, so those are all still pending. So nothing from me in college. From you in college, 2 and 3. You had one of those games. Was it ODU that screwed you over? Was it Old Dominion?
Yeah, of course we couldn't make it that far without bringing it up. Old Dominion was up 28-0.
Yeah.
And they were up 21 points in the fourth quarter, and they lost. And that's not even the most absurd thing that happened in the entire game. They had them fourth down and goal from the 15-yard line with like 10 seconds left in the game, and they left somebody wide open for a touchdown. I swear to God, Old Dominion's the biggest joke of a football team I've ever seen in my entire life. Every single one of those guys better get their degree, because they're going to be bagging groceries for the rest of their life, if not.
The good news is you went 3-1 in the NFL, and I went 1-2 in the NFL. So a little bit of a bounce back week needed for myself. And I'm just going to repeat the college plays that I had last week when we do college, because they haven't played just yet.
Yeah, no, that works perfectly. And before we get into the games, guys, I got a little rant to make here about bowl season. And look, I can't even be that mad about this one because I ended up winning it. But the dishonesty of who's in and who's out in these bowl games has gotten absolutely ridiculous. And like, quite frankly, it's a joke. So Frank Harris, before the UTSA, the 2 days before UTSA takes on
Marshall in their bowl game. Look, I ended up cashing with the worst number you could have possibly got on UTSA minus 12, but this guy sat at the podium and he said, I can't wait for one last ride with my brothers as he plays in his seventh year of college football in his final bowl game. And you know what happens, Ben?
Doesn't play.
About noon that day, a report comes out that Frank Harris has a shoulder injury, and he hasn't even practiced all week, all the entire preparation time, and he's not going to play in the game. He said verbatim that he can't wait to play in the game. First of all, that guy's a total piece of shit, and he's never going to play football again because he's a scrub. And second off, it's a joke, dude. If we're really allowing kids to do this at this point in time, Jeff Traylor should be fined. I mean, it is a total joke that you're going to allow somebody to come up there and do that when they know damn well they're not going to play in a bowl game. This entire bowl season has been ridiculous. You have teams losing to teams with third-string quarterbacks. You have teams not even playing. Like, teams will play their starters for, like, a drive, then pull them out of the game. I mean, bowl season has become more and more of a joke. At this point, it's preseason football. It's exhibition football, Ben. And you know what they need to do, Ben, to fix this? I have a solution for us.
What's that?
They need to say, you ain't getting your swag bag. You're not getting a damn thing if you don't win this bowl game. That needs to be the rule. If you don't play and if you don't win the game, you don't get shit from the bowl game sponsor. That needs to be the fix to it. And quite frankly, it's really been pissing me off. So with all that being said, Ben, do you have any thoughts?
Sitting out, like, whatever is fine with me with how the sport is if it's announced, but you shouldn't.
Exactly.
Talk about you don't have to publicize it if you don't want to. Like, if Franco Harris, like, how many interviews is Franco Harris doing before whatever bowl game that they do? Like, no one cares about this bowl game. Like, obviously, you do a media presence, like the UTSA media and the bowl game media, but, like, if you're not practicing, don't say you're going to play. You know, you could try to word it, like, be honest and say, hey, I'm doing my best to play this game, but I don't know that you shouldn't say how much you want to play and then you're not even practicing with the amount of money that there is on the line. Now, I don't know how much money in America is on that bowl game, but there is some money on it. And yeah, there's got to be a little bit of transparency that we need in bowl games. If we're going to be legalizing gambling, more states are popping up with legalizing it. The more you legalize it, the more you do need this information to be out there. So it's weird that, like, Vegas wouldn't even have that. Obviously, they're sharper on everything. The line obviously didn't seem to move. Obviously, you would have.
No, it did. It did. They figured it out around noon. Yeah, around noon, the line went from 12 to 10.5 to 9.5 to 8.5. And by kickoff, it was all the way at 7. The good news is it didn't matter because Marshall got smoked. But
yeah, I guess they've changed it when they figured it out. But if he didn't practice all week, it's hard to believe they didn't know until noon of day of.
Yeah, dude, I mean, the guy apparently had a shoulder injury in the last game of the season, and he was, like, no chance. There was, like, 0% chance he was going to play. Like, he didn't even, like, practice. I don't even think he was with the team when they were practicing. He just showed up for the bowl game because it was his last game. Guy's a total clown, man. Absolutely embarrassing, pathetic for him. So, I thought that was a clown show. Look, college football needs to come out with a rule that by should be within 3 hours of kickoff of your game that you have to release an official injury report. And if there's, like, I mean, in the NFL, you could lose draft picks and you can get substantial fines for messing with injury reports. I think college football needs the same thing here. You lose scholarships it should be like a 3 scholarship penalty every single time you do it and $100,000 fine. Like, I think they need to come down on these schools hard for doing this. And it's ridiculous. It pisses me off as somebody who bets on the games. Anyway, though, Ben, enough ranting about that. Let's get into the plays here. I'm going to start things out with us since I know I have the first play for bowl season. I'm going to go to the Friday game, and look, they can try the little injury manipulation, who's in, who's out manipulation all they want in this game because none of it's going to matter. We're taking Georgia Tech and UCF to go over the total at 66.5 in this game. First of all, Georgia Tech's going to be missing their best corner and edge. Both these guys are in the portal. They said bye-bye. UCF's going to be missing their top 3 defensive backs to the portal and to season-ending injuries. First of all, let's talk about these defenses. These defenses, to say they're piss poor, is doing them a favor. Georgia Tech has a bottom 20, actually, sorry, both defenses are bottom 25 in defensive EPA. Georgia Tech is the 13th worst defense in college football in terms of yards per game. And UCF ain't much better. Is they're 50, but they're only like 40 yards off from how bad Georgia Tech is. So not much of a difference there. Offensively, though, UCF has a top 25 offense, and they played a bunch of those games without Plumlee in there at quarterback, so I actually think their offense is undervalued. That's also in terms of EPA. In terms of EPA, Georgia Tech has a top 50 offense, and when you look at their numbers, they got better every single game, and they're playing their best football now here at the end of the season. Haynes Kingston to come in here healthy. I think this total could be 75, and they'll still go over. This might be the highest scoring bowl game of all of bowl season. Give me the over here. Bonus play I won't be taking, but just a little something I want to mention here. Georgia Tech hasn't played in a bowl game in a long time. I expect them to come in here and take this game really seriously. UCF, since stepping up in competition this year, barely eked out 6 wins. I think Georgia Tech might come down here and beat them. This is the Gasparilla Bowl, though. It's in Florida. You know, UCF will have a lot of fans there, but Georgia Tech hadn't been bowling in a long time. I think they'll take this game pretty seriously, and don't be shocked to see Georgia Tech pull off the upset.
I'm just going to repeat my college picks from last week. So, I'm going to the Duke's Mayo Bowl, North Carolina, West Virginia. I took the Mountaineers -6. UNC, I mean, Drake May, Tez Walker, running back, is one of the running backs is transferring. They got no defense anyway. And I think West Virginia's just going to play harder in this game. I know that UNC's backup probably does want to prove himself somewhere if he's still in this team. I'm not even sure if he's transferred because they have Max Johnson coming in from A&M. So It's not his job anyway. I just think UNC doesn't care about this game. They got new players coming in to play next year at quarterback, and new defensive players that aren't going to be playing in this game. So I think West Virginia is just going to want it more. I took West Virginia -6. That game is on the 27th.
Okay. I like that one a good bit there, Ben. I think I'll probably end up being with you on that one. I'm not betting any of these games, though, anymore till the day of, unless I'm just taking a total after seeing all the BS that's been going on. What's your next play you got?
Yeah, I'm going to the Texas Bowl next. Geography-wise, both these teams not too far from Houston, Texas. It's one of the biggest I don't give a shit about games we have in bowl season. It's A&M against Oklahoma State, who Oklahoma State's best player, Ollie Gordon, he's in the portal, isn't he? Or did he come
back?
I don't
know if he's in the portal or not.
Well, maybe not, but even if he does play, Oklahoma State really struggles throwing the ball downfield. A&M has the entire roster in the transfer portal, or they have already left in this game. I don't think A&M is going to be able to put up that many points. They're still favored in this game by 2.
Yeah.
Total is still 53. I don't understand how I took under 53. This game is also on the 27th.
Okay. I'll jump in here and give out a play. I'm going to go to Saturday. I haven't played this one just yet, just because I want to make sure. But as of right now, there's really no key opt-outs. I mean, I will say both teams are missing like a player or two on defense. And this Northern Illinois is going to be missing with their best offensive lineman, their starting center. He's in the portal. But like I said, I don't really think there's much of a who's in, who's out edge here in this game. Give me Arkansas State -3. Rocky Lombardi is a turnover machine. And let's be honest, guys, the MAC is a horrible conference. This Northern Illinois team is terrible. They rank in the bottom half, in the bottom like 20 of college football. And a lot of the key stats I give out, like DVOA, EPA, YPP, they're awful in all terms of those stats. Arkansas State, on the other hand, Butch Jones is 6-1 ATS in bowl games. And I'm going to throw the stats out the window here with Arkansas State because they got absolutely dragged to start the season out by Memphis and by Oklahoma. We had Oklahoma -35 when they beat them 77-0 to start the season out. I think this team has come a long way since then, and they'll be ready to play in this game. So I'm going to take the Red Wolves -3 in that game. Don't bet it yet, though. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, TP3Bets. I will post up the final news on that game because who knows, there could be injury BS that comes out. Ben, what's your next play?
Yep, last one for me was on the 28th. What bowl game is this? Arizona and Oklahoma are playing in the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio. Again, not too far from both from Oklahoma here. I like the Arizona Wildcats to finish off a great year. If their coach had a lot of interest from a lot of schools, Jeb Finch, I believe his name is
Fish.
I think if What was his name?
Jed Fish.
Jed Fish.
Yeah.
I think if he did he sign a contract extension?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what he's doing.
I think
doing.
If he had left, I would never have played Arizona in this game. But yeah. The fact that he is coaching seems like he's not going anywhere. Arizona had one of the biggest surprise seasons in a positive way out of anyone in the country. And I think they're going to finish off on a strong note. They do have guys playing in this game. They surprised me from the very beginning. I thought losing their receiver last year, I think he went to USC, who was their top receiver. I thought they were going to struggle offensively. The fact that they finished 9-3, 14th in country is insanely impressive. Oklahoma is going to have their future starting quarterback start in this game because Dylan Gabriel has already transferred to Oregon. So it's a nice little head start for Jackson Arnold, who probably played a little bit in blowout games this year, but he is supposed to be amazing. I just don't expect him to come in first start in a bowl game against a team that should care about this game. It should play pretty hard. I think Arizona is going to make it pretty difficult for him, and I'm going to take Arizona -3.
I like that play. I'll probably end up joining you on that one. Arizona is also the best ATS team in all of college football, going 10-2 ATS this season. So I think you got a great play there, Ben. Another one for me, haven't taken it officially yet. The line is currently at 7. It's another game at noon on Saturday. Ben brought it up when we were talking beforehand. Why is this game not on a Wednesday? We're going to take Troy -7 against Duke here in this game. Troy is actually a really good football team. They lost two games all season long, one coming to JMU and the other game coming to Kansas State, which I don't fault them for either. They won the conference championship as well. And look, Duke's going to be missing 11 or 12 starters in this game. Duke has not been the same team ever since that Riley Leonard got hurt and left the starting lineup. Troy stays, I think they're going to stay motivated in this game, seeing the ACC patch on Duke's jerseys and wanting to come out here and finish off a great season. Duke's not the same team, in my opinion, without these players. We saw me and Ben watch Duke be from a bet-on team all the way down to one of just the very average teams in the ACC. This team did not finish the season strong at all. I like Troy here a lot, -7. I'm going to take Troy to cover the number. I think they win this game by like 2 touchdowns. Ben, any other bowl games for you?
That was it for now.
Yeah, next week, guys, we'll be on here. We haven't decided what day yet, but we'll be on here next week, and we're going to give out our picks, too, for the college football playoff next week. So stay tuned for that. A lot of big things coming, and we'll actually have some bowl games to talk about where we don't have to worry about every single player opting out and being a bum. We got picks here for NFL. It was a good week for me last week in the NFL. Let's see if we can't keep it going. Ben, you're the leader in the clubhouse in the NFL. Get us started.
I got a lot of totals this week. Spreads were just kind of hard to come by for me, so I'm just going to go totals. Commanders at the Jets. I'm going to take the under 37. I grabbed it right now because that number started at 40. Commanders have really struggled offensively. I said a while ago that I was basically going to bet Ron Rivera until he was fired. I was on that for a couple weeks, and then I kind of started. I'd rather take the total under in this game than rely on the Jets. Zach Wilson is still in concussion protocol as of Wednesday practice. We'll see if he is able to practice Thursday, but we're recording this around 1 p.m., and I don't believe they've had practice yet. So, or the injury report hasn't come out that I've seen for practice on Thursday yet. So I think if he doesn't play, you get Simeon, and that's a disaster for the Jets offense even more. And I think even if Zach Wilson plays, I know that he's had a couple flash games here and there, but he's overall just not really that good. I do like the Jets to win this game. I just don't know if they're going to cover the 3 points. The Commanders really sold out on their pass rush, and it's hurt them. Ron Rivera, I think out of respect, maybe because he's an Army veteran. Maybe they don't fire him middle of the season, but it's amazing that this guy still has a job. I'm going to take the under 37 in the Jets Commanders game.
I think you got a pretty solid play there, Ben. I just don't have the balls on me to bet a Commanders game under. This defense is a total joke, but how's Trevor Siemian going to move the football? I agree with you on that one. I'm going to go to a Saturday game, actually. This is going to be the first game of the week on a Saturday. I'm going to take the Steelers +2 here at home against the the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know why I almost called them Browns. First of all, Ja'Marr Chase is officially going to be out in this game. Jake Browning down to their weapon, and Ben, something I've been looking at the last couple weeks in the NFL, and another reason why I'm on the Saints tonight, is I feel like you got to buy low on teams and sell high on them. Pittsburgh is just got smoked in two standalone games by Indianapolis in a game they were embarrassed, and they got embarrassed in another standalone game against the trash Patriots. I think that the narrative around Pittsburgh could not be more lower right now than it is. What have the Bengals done? They've won three games in a row with Jake Browning as their starting quarterback, including a game they were fortunate to win due to two red zone turnovers. I think that's a reason why I want to buy on Pittsburgh here, but let's get into some stats. Obviously, Mike Tomlin is a home underdog, is in play here. Steelers and Mike Tomlin, after allowing 30 or more points, he's 26-10-1 ATS, the second best among coaches, only Belichick's better. And when he's at home in this spot, he's 19-6-1 against the number. The Steelers is an underdog after a loss, 22-11 ATS. And Ben, I could sit here and name trends all day. There's a billion trends, but you know what I thought about earlier? It's Christmas time, and you know who's playing quarterback for the Steelers?
Mason Rudolph?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, baby. He's about to get that Christmas bump. Let's go. Give me the Steelers.
I mean, the only time you can take the Steelers is as an underdog, especially at home. So it's hard to blame you for taking that. I'm going Browns at Texans under 40. Texans have struggled without Tank Dell. They've had other wide receiver injuries here and there. Is Noah Brown back? I haven't seen anything on him just yet.
No, I haven't seen any of them practice, and I've actually got to play in this game too, so I'll talk about it once you're done.
But with Singletary running the ball pretty well this week, the Texans have continued and have to continue to rely on the run. That's going to eat clock. The only problem is you're facing the Browns, who have the best, if not one of the best, front sevens. It's really hard to move the ball on the ground against this Browns team. It's even harder when you drop back the pass over and over and over. I don't think the Texans really have a great formula coming to this game. I think they're going to have to ad-lib, see what's working for them day of, and go with it. And the Browns, it's like, I'll be honest with you, Flacco is playing decent. He just shaved the beard. I got a problem with that. You don't shave the beard in the middle of a... Browns are trying to get in the playoffs here. You got to keep the beard going. In all seriousness, the Browns offense still isn't that great. Flacco's the... He's the type of quarterback where they show it on TV, drops back to pass, looks smooth. Ball comes out beautifully out of his hand. It's one of the best-looking spirals you've ever seen. Until you wait about a second or two when the camera flips to the wide receiver and the ball is 15 feet out of bounds. It's the most perfectly thrown ball until you see the result from Flacco sometimes. I'm going to take the under 40. Both these offenses are just really bad, and I trust the Browns defense to barely give up any points in this game. I lean the Browns in the spread. I don't want to bet on Flacco, to be honest with you. So I'd rather bet on the defense and the Browns. So I took under 40.
Ben, I like where the last part you said, you lean the Browns on the spread. I don't lean the Browns on the spread. I love the Browns on the spread. Give me the Browns here in this game. We have the best defense in the NFL going up against Case Keenum. What are we doing here, Ben? Case Keenum got sacked four times last week. I think he's going to hold on to the ball, get sacked even more against Myles Garrett and company. CJ Stroud's going to be out in this game, like you said. And none of these Texans, Nico Collins, Noah Brown, even John Mechie, none of these guys are practicing right now. Tank Dell's out for the season. It's going to be Dalton Schultz, Robert Woods, and whoever else you can find on the street at this point in time playing wide receiver. The Browns, in my opinion, are flying completely under the radar, and this team is surging right now. Sure, they lost two games, or they just won their last two games in a row, and I also like fading teams off big-time overtime wins. I think the Browns and Joe Flacco honestly play better. Joe Flacco is smart. He makes the throws they need. He'll probably throw one interception, but he's been making the right plays, making smart throws. I think the Browns come out here, rally the troops, and get it done in a big way this week. So I'm going to take the Browns to beat up on the Texans. Ben, what's your third pick?
You know, man? What? I'm going to stay off for now. I'm going to stay off.
What, were you going to hop on that one with me?
I'm thinking about it. I just don't know if I want to back Flacco with points. Like, maybe in a money line parlay or something. Maybe I throw the money line parlay or something. Yeah, it's 2.5.
Might as well.
My last one is, I think both teams got to have it this week. And it's one team that's lost three games in a row, and it's one team that's won three games in a row. And I don't really know who to back, and so I went with the total. We're talking Jags at Buccaneers. The Jags have lost three in a row. Trevor Lawrence has obviously been banged up in two of them. He has had a very interesting season. Like, by the numbers, he's having a horrible season. But he was winning games when everyone was like, he's so bad, he's so bad, he's so bad. He was winning games. Now they're not winning as much, and that's because Christian Kirk has been out, and the offense has completely changed. You're relying on Calvin Ridley to do something that I'm not sure he's able to do at this point. It's amazing. Like, he's coming off not an injury. He's coming off just a suspension. I thought he would have hopped right back on the high horse and been a really talented player. He's just okay. It's not bad, but he's just okay without Christian Kirk. Evan Ingram has been a good spot for the Jags this year, and we're going to rely on him big in this situation, as the Bucs have not been great against covering tight ends. They've really have just been not great against pass-heavy teams. I think ETN has got to get more involved in the pass game as well. The Bucs have really been surging. They've won three in a row. Baker Mayfield has really played well this season. He's playing some incredible football. Going into Green Bay was something I was really impressed with from Baker Mayfield. Not only did he have a perfect passer rating, going into a Green Bay when you're a South Florida team, into the cold in December is extremely impressive. It's not something Green Bay has done often. In fact, that was Matt LaFleur's first December loss as a head coach of the Packers. I got to give Baker a lot of credit, but I can't take the Bucs with the spread because I don't want to bet on a horse, on a team that is just riding a high right now when I don't think overall they're the greatest team. So just give me points. I'm going to take my over this week, over 42 and a half. Both teams just really susceptible about giving plays through the air. And I think 42 and a half is a little low with the way that Baker and Mike Evans have been rolling. The Jags have to figure it out without Christian Kirk because you cannot continue to spiral if the Texans win this week against the Browns, which obviously TP has predicted they won't. But if the Texans win this game, you're letting them hang around in this division. It's time the Jags really need to put their foot on the gas and win this division. You've got to figure it out, and you're facing a team that you can beat through the air, and it's not going to be easy without Christian Kirk, and I think Zay Jones is also out. But you still have Calvin Ridley, you still have ETN, you still have Evan Ingram. It's time Doug Peterson and his offensive coordinator figure it out through the air, and I think they do. Give me over 42 and a half.
Interesting one. I really have no leans on that one. I will say Trevor Lawrence has been terrible this season, Ben. I'm right there with
Bad.
you. He's been so disappointing,
They've got
honestly.
to win this game, though. Both teams have got to win this game.
Yeah. I think we talked about in the offseason too, like we thought Trevor Lawrence is the player most ready to take the big jump, and it just never happened for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's very disappointing. I've heard some people talk about it. I mean, you look at Trevor Lawrence, he has all the skills and everything. The one thing that they say he lacks is like he doesn't have the brain that a lot of these other elite quarterbacks have. He's just not the football genius. I think Trevor Lawrence at this point in time is just he's just an elite game manager. He's not going to win you games or lose you games. He's just going to manage the game for you. He's not that Mahomes difference-making quarterback.
So in last year when Doug Peterson was taking the reins, it was his first year last year at the Jags coach, right? He was taking the reins from Urban Meyer. There was a lot of chaos. He called the plays. Well, we know what Doug Peterson can do, calling plays. Unless I missed it that he's taken over, he's not calling plays this year. He's letting his offensive coordinator do that. And I don't really understand the switch. You had a lot of success in year one. Now, it's a lot of work, and typically I am the type of guy shouting from the rooftops how much I hate when a head coach does more than one thing, but just be a head coach. But it's not working with the offensive coordinator, so I would have thought he would have taken it back, especially after sliding three games. I'm pretty sure Doug Peterson's not calling the plays. I think he has to do with the game plan, but I don't know. It seems weird that he's not calling the plays. Maybe I'm wrong. You can fact check me on that, but at the beginning of this year, he was letting his offensive coordinator call plays, and it's a mystery that Lawrence is having a worse year compared to last year.
I agree, man. I mean, it could also be the
Now,
fact that
again,
he's
Christian
hurt.
Kirk being hurt these last couple of weeks is a big problem. They're
Yeah,
paying him for a reason.
you can't put one at all on one receiver, in my opinion. I will
Nobody, I
say,
think
though, like,
he makes everyone else better, I think, though. Like,
yeah.
he makes Zay Jones and Ridley better. Then you forget about Ingram a little bit. Then, whoops, you have ETN coming out of the backfield.
And I'll give Lawrence a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here. It could be the injuries. I mean, the guy's playing through a knee injury, and now he has what is
ankle.
A possible concussion. Like, Lawrence is playing very beat up, so it could also be that he's only a shell of himself.
He's got to have it this week. They have to win this week.
Yeah, he definitely does. He's been probably, in my opinion, the most disappointing player in the league this year. Last play here for me, certainly not least, taking the Vikings plus the 3 at the house against Detroit Lions this week. Goff, I mean, Jared Goff, guys, he's had some great games, but he struggles. Like, he's really bad against cover two, and nobody runs more cover two than Brian Flores and this Vikings defense. The Vikings defense is quietly 5th in the NFL right now in EPA, and I think this Vikings defense is extremely slept on. Nick Mullins, I mean, he's just a total gunslinger. He's going to sit back there and sling the ball, and he had 2 bad turnovers in the red zone last week. They probably would have won that game without those Nick Mullins turnovers. I think, though, him being a gunslinger plays well against a bad Lions defense. I think he's going to be able to throw the ball on them, and this offense looked way better with Ty Chandler back there running the football. It looks like a different beast with him carrying the rock. He brought a lot of speed and dynamic catching and other things for them out of the backfield. Like, they looked way better without Madison. Madison looks like he's going to be out of this game as well. So it's another reason I like the Vikings. And the last but not least reason I like the Vikings too, Ben, is I think their offense undervalued in this game with Justin Jefferson back. I mean, when they needed big throws in that game, they were able to hit Jefferson and keep driving down the field. I think he adds another dynamic that's not being factored in here to this game. This is a very tough road game here for the Lions. And to be honest with you, sure, the Lions beat up on the Broncos. That felt like a circle the wagon spot for them last week, and I had the Lions in that game. This time, I don't know as much, man. I like the Vikings. I think they win this game outright. I'll take the 3 points, though, with them.
Is that it for your NFL picks? Because I got a stat. And that was it.
Yeah, that's it.
So, you're a big trend guy. It's that guy. So I'm a little shocked that either maybe you have this and just didn't say it, or maybe you didn't have it. But I want to get your opinion on this. So there's teams coming off a victory of 17 or more facing a team that has lost the week before, obviously, by 17 or more. The team that lost by 17 or more covers the next week at about 59% over the last 20 years. It seems like a very you stat. And when I read that, I was like, wonder if he's going to say that. So that applies at a couple spots this week. That's Buffalo at the Chargers. I will never take the Chargers for the rest of my life.
I'm not touching that game. I don't even want to watch it.
As long as these guys are, well, they fired their coaches, but that's 12, but I'm not touching that. I'm assuming you're not touching that for Buffalo minus 12. Or Chargers minus 12 or plus 12. So Minnesota, they lost close, but so the stat doesn't go for it, but the Lions are coming off a 17-point victory. The only other one where it applies is one of the biggest games of the week, is Dallas is coming off getting blown out against Buffalo. They lost by 21. And Miami is coming off a 30-0 victory against the Jets. So that stat does apply for the Cowboys in the situation. Any read on that game? Are you just waiting closer to game time to kind of give that one out? Just not going to bet it in general. Where do you kind of land on where that stat provides where the Cowboys sit? Because I think you know my opinion on the Cowboys, and it's the same thing every year. I think Dak's a good quarterback. Don't think he's a great quarterback. I think the Cowboys beat up and bully bad teams, especially when they play them at home. Under McCarthy, they're one of the worst road teams in the last couple of years that he's been the head coach, and Dak's been the quarterback in that combo. But also, Tua's not the most trustworthy quarterback in big games as well. Tyreek Hill is a little banged up. I would imagine he plays in this game. Where do you kind of see this matchup? Does the stat that I gave out make you want to take the Cowboys more or less, or not at all?
That Cowboys game's tough for me. I want to see if Tyreek Hill's going to play, and I'm pretty sure you're going to be missing quite a few offensive linemen for the Dolphins have been missing guys on the offensive line, so I kind of want to see who's actually in and out on that offensive line, because if you don't have offensive linemen, Dallas pass rush is probably going to be all over you. That one's really weird, though, because both these teams are terrible against teams above 500 and against teams with winning records. They just kind of beat
They're
up
the
on
same
bad teams.
NFC and AFC.
Yeah, exactly. They're the exact same
team. I think both
team.
Have a good quarterback that's not a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm kind of waiting to find an edge in that game more. I need to dig into it more. Those are the plays that really stuck out to me. And then when I did my research on them, those ones really hit for me. So
who's
I honestly
the
think
team? Who do you
think
is the better overall team?
Miami, dude. I think I lean Miami in this game. I just think Miami is a little.
I think it's Dallas because I think without Phillips, I think the pass rush for Miami isn't as strong. It's still a good pass rush. Don't get me wrong. But I lean the pass rush with Micah Parsons. When you have both, you know, stud pass rushers in, I think it's pretty even. I think Phillips is one of the best we have in the NFL. He's unfortunately just out for the year. I trust the Cowboys' offensive line more, and so that's why I think they're a better team. But I don't know, man. Like, both teams really struggle against good teams. The question is, are both of these teams great, or are they both just good? I think in a neutral site, I think the Cowboys are favored.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably pretty fair. I think it'd probably be Dallas, like, -1.5 on a neutral site. But, yeah, you know, this is a tough game for me, honestly. I don't even know if I'm into betting on that. I want to bet it because it's going to be the game of the week. But
yeah, I mean, I have no lean to this game, not on the total, not on the side. You know, what CeeDee Lamb has been doing this year is pretty insane. But on the flip side, what you have in Tyreek Hill, and then he goes out, Waddle goes out for a drive for a couple plays, and he comes back and he has 100-something yards. My problem is I don't know which quarterback I trust more because both coaches have proven to lose big games when they've played them. Both quarterbacks have really, like, they could go off and they can struggle at any given game.
Yeah.
And I think if Tyreek Hill is not 100% healthy, I think that dwindles Tua's chances to have a great game. Now, he did it against the Jets, who do have a good defense, but let's be honest, that defense can give up at any point during a game when their offense is getting shut out. And then the Cowboys, like I said, I think their defense is a little bit better with the injuries the Dolphins have. But I do think the Cowboys are a little less trustworthy. We've had the same story with Dak Prescott for years now and Mike McCarthy, so I think I'm going to sit back, but I think it was worth at least talking about that game.
For sure.
The one ugly spot that I didn't take, or at least haven't taken now, just wanted to get your quick thoughts on it, was Tennessee. We usually like to take Tennessee as a home underdog. Will Levis is questionable for the game as of now. If he does play, could you see yourself taking the Titans as a home dog?
Shoot, I could see myself taking Titans as a home dog with what's-his-face playing
Malik
with
Willis?
Tannehill is actually, yeah, Tannehill might actually be the starting QB in this game. Yeah,
I think that's a spot that you could fade. They're playing the Seahawks, right?
Yeah, and plus, too, the Seahawks are kind of coming off a game of the year type win against the Eagles.
Drew Lock, I mean, you know my opinion on backup quarterbacks. They can play well week to week, but once you start getting tape on them, we just know Drew Lock. Like, he's kind of like Trubisky at this point. He's played enough games as a backup that we know he's not that good.
Yeah, I think Locke might be one of the better. He's definitely one of the better backups in the league for sure.
Public was pretty heavy when I looked right before on Seattle as well. So if it stays heavy on Seattle, I think I might see myself as an ugly home dog with Tennessee.
Yeah, definitely think that's a pretty solid look there too, Ben. So I'm right there with you, especially on a short week off a big win. Feels like a fade Seattle spot for sure.
That's all I got.
That's all I got as well, guys. As always, we appreciate everyone who tuned in. Like I said, happy holidays to everybody. Let's get this money together. Should be another solid week. Gave y'all a ton of free picks. Let's get this money, and we'll talk to all y'all soon.